Radical love, lavish generosity, extravagant forgiveness, inclusive hospitality, compassionate action, selfless service, a passion for justice, creative nonviolence, simple living. Good day, good people. I'm Robert Farrell. This is Coalesce. Thank you for joining me. Coalesce is grounded in both and thinking, heart wisdom, and listening for the common good arising in dialogue, where we are present to presence. Coalesce provides an opportunity to encounter and discover the multiple perspectives that make our beautiful community. May we see with the eyes of our heart. May we love one another with peace and compassion. May all beings come to know the divine presence within. This is episode 46, A Deeper Love Entanglement. I truly believe that the 12-step program will go down in history as America's greatest and unique contribution to the history of spirituality. It represents what is good about American pragmaticism. There's something in the American psyche that becomes mistrustful and impatient with anything that's too abstract, theoretical, or distant. Americans want a spirituality that is relevant, that changes people, and that really makes a difference in this world. For many, the 12 steps do just that. They make the gospel believable, practical, and even programmatic for many people. After visiting a 12-step program in Pennsylvania, I went home afterward thinking this felt more like church than the liturgy on Sunday morning. It was as if each person was a priest and they were all healing one another. The God talk was honest and experience-based, not belief-based. There was no hesitancy for each person to describe their history of failure and recovery, or death and resurrection, if you prefer Christian vocabulary. Opening with, "Hi, I'm Joe, and I'm an alcoholic," is a humble and honest admission of deep need. Jesus taught us that God's love is not dependent on our worthiness. He healed and ate with sinners and outcasts when he was on earth. He told parables, like those about the Pharisee and the tax collector, Luke 18:9-14, and the prodigal son, Luke 15:11-32, where the one who did it wrong ended up being right, and the one who was seemingly did it right ended up being wrong. The entrance requirement for an AA meeting is not worthiness, but unworthiness, not capacity, but deep need. Just as it should be. Worthiness isn't the issue. The issue is trust and surrender. As Thérèse of Lisieux said, Jesus does not demand great actions from us, but simply surrender and gratitude. Let's resolve this once and for all. You are not worthy. None of us are. Don't even go down that worthiness road. It's a game of denial and pretend. We are all saved by grace. We are all being loved in spite of ourselves. 12 Steps has the courage to recognize that you don't come to God by doing it right. You come to God by doing it wrong, and then falling into an infinite mercy. The 12 Steps wisely call such mercy your higher power. I also want to add what only the gospel is fully prepared to proclaim. You are absolutely worthy of love, yet this has nothing to do with any earned worthiness on your part. God does not love you because you are good. God loves you because God is good, and thus the 12 steps and the gospel fit together like hand in glove. Let us take this moment to connect with mercy, your higher power, with eyes closed and hands on heart. Rest in the silence. Be still for 1 minute. I think the 12 steps are inspired by the Holy Spirit and that they are the most successful pragmatic teaching of the true gospel. Bill Wilson and the other founders of Alcoholics Anonymous rediscovered the spirituality of imperfection and powerlessness, which was relegated to a subtext once Christianity aligned with imperial thinking, beginning in 313 AD. Once we looked out at society from the top instead of the bottom, the church focused its moral program on a path of ascent instead of descent. When you are aligned with empire, you are forced to prefer a spirituality of achievement, performance, worthiness, and willpower, and surely not any talk of all people have sinned and fallen short of glory, Romans 5:12 and 3:23. There is no longer room for the last to be first and the first to be last, Mark 10:31. Conformity to cultural virtue becomes much more important than love of littleness itself or love of any outsider. It's as if Christianity has been saying, we have the perfect medicine for what ails you, grace and mercy, but the only requirement for receiving it is never to need it. Jesus called himself a physician and made his case clear. Those who are well do not need a physician, but the sick do. I do not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Mark 2:17. Bill Wilson recognized this truth and understood that the only way to give everyone equal and universal access to God is to base salvation or enlightenment on woundedness instead of self-created trophies. If we are honest, this utterly levels the playing field. Julian of Norwich, an English mystic, understood the great turnaround and said proudly, "Our wounds are our very trophies. They are the holes in the soul where the light and the life can break through." Exactly as Leonard Cohen's anthem puts it, "Forget your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in." The way of the 12 steps is remarkably similar to Jesus' way of the cross, St. Francis' way of poverty, and St. Therese of Lisieux's little way. These and many other saints and mystics teach the power of powerlessness, either directly or indirectly. It was never totally lost in mainstream Christianity, although it was a minority insight. Many did recognize that it is the imperial ego that has to go, and only powerlessness can do the job correctly. If we try to change our ego with the help of our ego, we only have a better disguised ego. Until you bottom out and come to the limits of your own fuel supply, there's no reason for you to switch to a higher octane of fuel. Why would you? You will not learn to actively draw upon a larger source until your usual resources are depleted and revealed as inadequate to the task. In fact, you will not even know there is a larger source until your own sources and resources utterly fail you. None of us go to the place of powerlessness on our own accord. We have to be taken there. Sad to say it, but it is largely sin, humiliation, failure, and various forms of addictions that do the job. Sometimes, having ruined your marriage, your children, your job, or your sterling self-image, you have to say, "My way isn't working. Maybe there is another way. Maybe I really do need to change." That is very often when you are finally ready to begin a sincere spiritual journey. At that point, your religion morphs into a living spirituality. Let us take this moment to connect with, "My way isn't working. Maybe there is another way. Maybe I really do need to change." With eyes closed and hands on heart, rest in the silence. Be still for 1 minute. The 12-step program helps people see that addiction is an illness which requires understanding and spiritual healing, much more than a moral failure which deserves condemnation. This is a gigantic breakthrough. Neither the healing of addiction nor the overcoming of sin will happen by mere willpower, by just gritting your teeth and doing it. According to Bill Wilson, a vital spiritual experience is necessary for addicts to wake up and begin the process of recovery. Paralleling the teaching of Jesus, Bill saw that it is only vulnerability, surrender, and powerlessness that keep us open to ongoing healing and love from God, not grandiosity. This is also how human love relationships work. In a dance of mutual honesty and vulnerability, grace and forgiveness. I'm convinced that what we now call addiction is what the Gospels illustrated with stories of demonic possession. Our modern sensibilities are rather embarrassed by these frequent stories in the Gospels, but in this light, they now make sense. Once you understand the nature of addiction, an inability to do what is in your own best interest, the language of the devil made me do it, is actually fairly accurate. Such demons must indeed be exorcised by a positive encounter with a much more powerful source. Jesus enters the situation and the demons are both exposed and disempowered. In moments of sincere divine communion, your addictions show themselves to be false and temporary solutions to your very real loneliness and emptiness. Most addictions are not substance addictions, alcohol, drugs, food, consumer objects, etc., but instead they're process addictions, patterns of thinking and reacting. Spiritual traditions at their higher levels discover that the primary addiction of all humans is addiction to our own way of thinking. That should be obvious. Contemplation teaches you how to observe your small mind and, frankly, to see how inadequate it is to the task in front of you. As Eckhart Tolle now says, 98% of human thought is repetitive and useless. How humiliating is that? When you see how self-serving, how petty, how narcissistic, and how compulsive your thinking is, you realize that you too are trapped and unfree. You might even call it possessed. Let me share with you a story of a young father who was very discouraged with himself. He could not stop being irritated at others, biting off people's heads, resenting every little thing. In desperation and anguish, he said, "How can I change this? I don't know how to be different." He sounded like Paul in Romans 7:24. "What a wretched man I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death?" When asked if he was that way with his two little children, without any hesitation, he said, "No, not at all, hardly ever." You see the point, I'm sure. The only way to be delivered from our body of death, as Paul calls it, or what Tolle calls the pain body, is to find oneself inside of a body of resurrection. See 1 Corinthians 15:20 and Romans 6:4. In other words, experience of a deeper love entanglement. In other words, experience of a deeper love entanglement absorbs all our negativity and nameless dread of life and the future. Paul's code phrase for this positive, realigned place is in Christo, which is to live by choice and embodiment within the force field of the risen Christ. You see, the only cure for possession is repossession by something greater. Until we have found our own ground and connection to the whole, we are unsettled, grouchy, and on the edge of falling apart. That man's children helped him realign. That is what a vital spiritual experience does for all of us. Afterward, you know you rightly belong in this world and that you are being held by some larger force. For some seemingly illogical reason, Life then feels okay and even good and right and purposeful. This is what it feels like to be saved. Let us take this moment to connect with a deeper love entanglement. With eyes closed and hands on heart, rest in the silence. Be still for 1 minute. The practice this week is titled the Yahweh Prayer. The breath is a primary example of how we cannot control our happiness despite our best efforts. Our bodies breathe automatically without contrivance, clinging, overthinking. The air is freely given. We can only recognize our dependence upon the air that surrounds us and surrender to the gratuity of air coming and going. A rabbi taught this prayer to Richard Rohr many years ago, who taught it to me. Richard writes about it in the second chapter of his book, The Naked Now. The Jews didn't speak God's name, but breathed it with an open mouth and throat. Inhale, Yah. Exhale, Hey. By our very breath, we are speaking the name of God. This makes it our first and our last word as we enter and leave the world. Breathe the symbols with open mouth and lips, relaxed tongue. On the inhale, Yah. Exhale, Way. During a period of meditation, perhaps 20 minutes, using this breath as a touchstone, begin by connecting your intention, your desire to be present to God. Breathe naturally, slowly, and deeply, inhaling and exhaling. Yah. Hey. Yah. Hey. Yah. Hey. Let your focus on the syllables soften and fall away into silence. If a thought, emotion, or sensation arises, observe but don't latch onto it. Simply return to breathing. You may be distracted numerous times, and perhaps your entire practice will be full of sensations clamoring for attention. Contemplation is truly an exercise in humility, but each interruption is yet another opportunity to return to presence. Thank you for being with me. In the days and weeks to come, may you experience vulnerability and powerlessness, your higher power, and a deeper love entanglement. Blessings to all.